What is inflation? Inflation is a sustained increase in the general price level leading to a fall in the purchasing power of money. The greatest falls in the value of money came during the late 1970s and again in the late 1980s when there was acceleration in the rate of inflation in the UK. In contrast, the last 15 years have seen lower rates of inflation, and money has held its value better. The rate of inflation is measured by the annual percentage change in consumer prices. The British government has set an inflation target of 2% using the Consumer Price Index, CPI. It is the job of the Bank of England to set interest rates so that AD is controlled, possible inflationary pressures are subdued, and the inflation target is reached. The bank is also concerned to avoid price deflation. We return to this a little later. Consumer price inflation for the UK economy. Annual percentage change in the consumer price index. Falling inflation does not mean falling prices. Please remember that a fall in the rate of inflation is not the same thing as a fall in prices. Have a look at the chart above, which measures the rate of consumer price inflation for the UK. Notice how in 2009 there was a steep drop in inflation from 5% to 1% over the course of the year. Inflation was falling, but the rate remained positive, meaning that prices were rising, but at a slower rate. A slowdown in inflation is not the same as deflation. For this to happen, inflation would have to be negative. The process of calculating the rate of inflation in the UK. The cost of living is a measure of changes in the average cost for a household of buying a basket of different goods and services. In the UK there are two published measures, the Retail Price Index, RPI, and the Consumer Price Index, CPI. Price data is used in many ways by the government, businesses, and society in general. They can affect interest rates, tax allowances, wages, state benefits, pensions, maintenance payments and many other "index-linked" contracts. The CPI is a weighted price index. Changes in weights reflect shifts in spending patterns of households in the British economy. Calculating a weighted price index. The following hypothetical example shows how to calculate a weighted price index. Weights are attached to each category, and then we multiply these weights to the price index for each item of spending for a given year. The price index for this year is the sum of price x weight slash sum of the weights. So the price index for this year is 104.1, rounding to one decimal place. The rate of inflation is the percent change in the price index from one year to another. So if in one year the price index is 104.1 and a year later the price index has risen to 112.5, then the annual rate of inflation equals 112.5, 104.1, divided by 104.1 × 100. Thus the rate of inflation equals 8.07%. Limitations of the consumer price index as a measure of inflation. The CPI is a thorough indicator of consumer price inflation for the economy, but there are some weaknesses in its usefulness for some groups of people. The CPI is not fully representative. Since the CPI represents the expenditure of the "average household," inevitably it will be inaccurate for the "non-typical household." For example, 14% of the index is devoted to motoring expenses, inapplicable for non-car owners. Single people have different spending patterns from households that include children, young from old, male from female, rich from poor and minority groups. We all have our own "waiting for goods and services" that does not coincide with that assigned for the consumer price index. Housing costs. The backquote housing category of the CPI records changes in the costs of rents, mortgage interest, property, and insurance, repairs. It accounts for around 16% of the index. Housing costs vary greatly from person to person, from the young house buyer, mortgage to the hilt, to the older householder who may have paid off his or her mortgage. The CPI does not include house prices in its calculation. Changing quality of goods and services. Although the price of a good or service may rise, this may be accompanied by an improvement in quality as the good. It is hard to make price comparisons of, for example, electrical goods over the last 20 years, because new audiovisual equipment is so different from its predecessors. In this respect, the CPI may overestimate inflation. The CPI is slow to respond to the emergence of new products and services. Students face above-average rise in the costs of living. Students preparing to head to university in a few weeks' time should be warned that the inflation rate they face is well above the official rate for the Consumer Price Index, according to a new student price index calculated by an economist working for the Open University. Economist Alan Shipman finds that for those in higher education, inflation for full-time students is nearly 7%, because students spend a far higher proportion of their budget on items that have risen in price fastest over the past year: food, housing, travel, and the additional cost of tuition fees. One of the big issues in recent times has been the difference in measured inflation between the Consumer Price Index, CPI, and the Retail Price Index, RPI. The latter includes mortgage interest costs in its calculation. In 2009, RPI inflation became negative for a few months for the first time since the 1960s. Deflation. Price deflation is the opposite of inflation, and happens when the rate of inflation becomes negative. That is, the general price level is falling, and the purchasing power of, say, £1,000 in cash is increasing. Some countries have experienced bouts of deflation in recent years. Perhaps the most well-known example was Japan during the late 1990s, and in the current decade. In Japan, the root cause of deflation was slow growth and a high level of spare capacity in many industries that was driving prices lower. Hyperinflation. Hyperinflation is extremely rare. Recent examples include Yugoslavia, Argentina, Brazil, Georgia, and Turkey, where inflation reached 70% in 1999. The classic example of hyperinflation was, of course, the rampant inflation in Weimar Germany between 1921 and 1923. When hyperinflation occurs, the value of money becomes worthless and people lose all confidence in money, both as a store of value and also as a medium of exchange. The recent hyperinflation in Zimbabwe is a good example of the havoc that can be caused when price inflation spirals out of control. It has made it virtually impossible for businesses to function in any kind of normal way. Often drastic action is required to stabilize an economy suffering from very high and volatile inflation, and this leads to political and social instability. The International Monetary Fund is often brought into the process of implementing economic reforms to reduce inflation and achieve greater financial stability. For Britain, the worst inflation experienced in modern times happened during the mid to late 1970s, when prices were rising at an annual rate of over 20%. At the same time, the economy was suffering from slow growth and rising unemployment, and this gave rise to stagflation. Inflation rose again in the late 1980s following an economic boom that was allowed to get out of control. By the start of the 1990s, inflation was over 10%, and it required a painful recession to get rid of most of the inflationary pressures in the economy. The main causes of inflation. Inflation can come from both the demand and the supply side, and also from internal and external economic events. Some inflationary pressures direct from the domestic economy, for example the decisions of the utility businesses providing electricity or gas or water on their tariffs for the year ahead, or the pricing strategies of the food retailers, based on the strength of demand and competitive pressure in their markets. A rise in the rate of VAT would also be a cause of increased inflation in the short term, because it increases a firm's production costs. Inflation can also come from external sources, for example a sustained rise in the price of crude oil or other imported commodities, foodstuffs and beverages. Fluctuations in the exchange rate can also affect inflation, for example a fall in the value of the pound against other currencies might cause higher import prices for items such as foodstuffs from Western Europe or technology supplies from the United States, which feeds through directly or indirectly into the consumer price index. At this level we usually make a distinction between demand pull inflation and cost push inflation. In the next section we focus on these two causes. Demand pull inflation occurs when aggregate demand and output is growing at an unsustainable rate leading to increased pressure on scarce resources and a positive output gap. When there is excess demand in the economy, producers are able to raise their prices and achieve bigger profit margins because they know that demand is running ahead of supply. Typically, demand pull inflation becomes a threat when an economy has experienced a strong boom with GDP rising faster than the long-run trend growth of potential GDP. Demand pull inflation is likely when there is full employment of resources and aggregate demand is increasing at a time when SRAS is inelastic. The main causes of demand pull inflation. 1. A depreciation of the exchange rate which increases the price of imports and reduces the foreign price of UK exports. If consumers buy fewer imports while exports grow, ADing will rise, and there may be a multiplier effect on the level of demand and output. 2. Higher demand from a fiscal stimulus, for instance via a reduction in direct or indirect taxation or higher government spending. If direct taxes are reduced, consumers will have more disposable income, causing demand to rise. Higher government spending and increased government borrowing feeds through directly into extra demand in the circular flow. 3. Monetary stimulus to the economy. A fall in interest rates may stimulate too much demand, for example in raising demand for loans, or in causing sharp rise in house price inflation. Monetarist economists believe that inflation is caused by too much money chasing too few goods, and that governments can lose control of inflation if they allow the financial system to expand the money supply too quickly. 4. Fast economic growth in other countries, providing a boost to UK exports overseas. Export sales provide an extra flow of income and spending into the UK circular flow. So what is happening to the economic cycles of other countries definitely affects the UK. Cost push inflation. Cost push inflation occurs when firms respond to rising costs by increasing prices to protect their profit margins. There are many reasons why costs might rise. 1. Component costs. For instance, an increase in the prices of raw materials and other components used in supplying goods and services. This might be because of a rise in commodity prices such as oil, copper and agricultural products used in food processing. A good recent example is the surge in the world price of wheat. 2. Rising labor costs caused by wage increases, which are greater than improvements. in productivity. Wage costs often rise when unemployment is low, because skilled workers become scarce, and this can drive pay levels. Higher wages might increase when the people expect higher inflation, so they bid for higher pay in order to protect their real incomes. 3. Expectations of inflation are important in shaping what actually happens to inflation. When people see prices are rising for the everyday items they purchase, they start to get concerned about the effects of inflation on their real standard of living. One of the dangers of a pickup in inflation is what the Bank of England calls second-round effects, that is, an initial rise in prices triggers a burst of higher pay claims as workers look to protect their way of life. 4. Higher indirect taxes imposed by the government, for example the rise in the specific duty on alcohol and cigarettes, an increase in fuel duty or a rise in value-added tax. Depending on the price elasticity of demand and supply for their products, suppliers may choose to pass on the burden of the tax on to consumers. 5. A fall in the exchange rate. This can cause cost-push inflation, because it normally leads to an increase in the prices of imported products. For example, during 2007-08 the pound fell heavily against the euro, leading to a jump in the prices of imported materials from eurozone countries. Cost-push inflation, such as that caused by a large and persistent rise in the world price of crude oil, can be shown in a diagram by an inward shift of the short-run aggregate supply curve. The fall in SRAS causes a contraction of national output together with a rise in the level of prices. Many of the causes of cost-push inflation come from external economic shocks, for instance unexpected volatility in the prices of commodities and movements in the exchange rate. A country can also import cost-push inflation from another country that is suffering from rising inflation of its own. Controlling inflation, macroeconomic policies. Most governments now give a high priority to keeping control of inflation. It has become one of the key objectives of macroeconomic policy. The governor of the Bank of England, Mervyn King, gave this defense of the need to keep a lid on price increases in a speech in June 2008. Maintaining price stability. The lesson of the past 50 years is that, when inflation becomes embedded, the cost of getting it back down again is a prolonged period of sluggish output and high unemployment. Price stability, returning inflation to the target, is a precondition for sustained growth. Source: Mervyn King, Governor of the Bank of England, Mansion House Speech, June 2008. Inflation can be reduced by policies that I slow down the growth of AD, or II boost the rate of growth of aggregate supply, as the main anti-inflation controls available to a government are 1. Fiscal policy. If the government believes that AD is too high, it may choose to tighten fiscal policy by reducing its own spending on public and merit goods or welfare payments. Or it can choose to raise direct taxes, leading to a reduction in real disposable income. The consequence may be that demand and output are lower, which has an effect on jobs and real economic growth in the short term. 2. Monetary policy. A tightening of monetary policy involves the central bank introducing a period of higher interest rates to reduce consumer and investment spending. Monetary policy is designed mainly to control demand pull inflationary pressures. But it also has an effect on costs, not least through the effect of changes in interest rates on the value of the currency. 3. Supply-side economic policies. Supply-side policies include those that seek to increase productivity, competition, and innovation, all of which can maintain lower prices. These are important ways of controlling inflation in the medium term. The most appropriate way to control inflation in the short term is for the government and the central bank to keep control of aggregate demand to a level consistent with our productive capacity. The consensus among economists is that AD is probably better controlled through the use of monetary policy, rather than an over-reliance on using fiscal policy as an instrument of demand management. But in the long run, it is the growth of a country's supply-side productive potential that gives an economy the flexibility to grow without suffering from acceleration in cost and price inflation. UK inflation and crude oil prices. Annual percent change in the consumer price index and Brent crude price. This chart shows a relationship between global crude oil prices and the rate of inflation in the UK. Crude oil prices surged from less than $60 per barrel at the start of 2007 to $140 less than 2 years later. This backquote inflationary shock to the British economy caused increases in the prices of petrol, diesel and electricity, the obvious symptoms of more expensive oil. But there were indirect effects too. For example, food prices increased because of higher transportation costs. In the event CPI inflation peaked at just over 5%, more than twice the official target, before falling back again very quickly. In part, the drop in inflation was prompted by the dramatic decline in oil prices. Another key factor was that the UK economy entered a recession, so demand pull inflationary pressures more or less disappeared. Nonetheless, there is a close connection between world oil prices and consumer prices for many different goods and services. Changes in international commodity prices can have a big bearing on the UK's inflation rate, and this is something that is largely outside of the control of the government and the Bank of England. Consumer price inflation for goods and services. Annual percentage change, source. ONS 101B, 2A2B 2C, 3A3B 3C, 4A4B 4C 4D, 5A, 6A 6B 6C, 7A 7B 7C, 8A 8B 8C 9A 9B, 10A 10B. For several years in the UK there was a gap in the inflation rates between goods and services. The prices of many products such as textiles and audiovisual goods has been falling, whereas the average annual rate of inflation for services such as plumbing, education and healthcare has been stubbornly above 3%. This divergence in inflation rates has largely disappeared in recent years, partly because of a rise in global commodity prices and also volatility in the value of the sterling exchange rate, affecting the prices of imported goods.